Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it, already February the 7th of the year of our Lord, 2022? Wow. This is indeed our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your loved ones. Share the love, would you please? All right, a quick recap of Friday's broadcast. I took a break on Saturday. A lot going on in my life, ladies and gentlemen. Good things everywhere, but crazy, crazy busy. But we had an incredible rebroadcast. Man, it must have been well-liked because we got hundreds of downloads on that one alone. So you got to like that. And Friday, though, we first had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson, who always says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. We had an incredible discussions of all things liberty. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive them of all property until their children wake up homeless on the very continent their founding fathers conquered, ladies and gentlemen. Who said that, you ask? Good old Thomas Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen. True as all get out. We talked about Yellen, not Yellen. Yellen, critics are Yellen. Start Yellen, Yellen. In other words, Yellen is the Federal Reserve Chairman, not yelling about the crisis happening. Do we operate in a free market? The answers are resounding, unequivocal, not a chance. There is a news blackout, ladies and gentlemen, on the Fed's naming of the banks that got its, quote, emergency repo loans. And some journalists seem to even be on gag orders relating to this. This all happened in 2019 when they claimed there was not even a financial crisis. WallStreetOnParade.com with all the details about this, ladies and gentlemen. We've never before seen a total blackout of a financial news story of this magnitude in our 35 years of monitoring Wall Street and the Fed. Wow, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this group says. You say, who am I talking about, this group? You're talking about Wall Street on Parade. They've never before seen a blackout this big before. Now listen, this all happened in 2019. Here's what happened. A bunch of banks got a bunch of money. Domestic banks, foreign banks, wow. It was the first time the Fed intervened into the, quote, repo market since the 2008 financial crash. That's the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. They called it the Great Recession back then. But ladies and gentlemen, now the Federal Reserve, 2 years later, named the banks that received $4.5 plus trillion in cumulative loans in the last quarter of 2019. Why do we hear about it 2 years later? I don't know. Again, it's always government secrecy, always government whatever. They say under its emergency repo loan operations for a, quote, liquidity crisis. The problem is it's yet to be properly explained, ladies and gentlemen. Among the largest borrowers on this scandal were J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup, three of the Wall Street's banks that were at the center of the subprime and derivatives crisis back in 2008. This is serious business, folks. But we're not told a thing about this banking crisis. So in 2019, they got a bunch of money. We didn't even find out which banks were involved till 2021. But none of the banks have been, well, explaining why they got the money. The Federal Reserve not explaining why they got the money. It is a scandal of epic proportions, ladies and gentlemen. Why, you ask? Number one, acting like it's a big old secret. Number two, though, these are stockholders in the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, it's like giving money to yourself. It's beyond a moral hazard at this point. Wow, hidden data from the Fed should be today's biggest story in the world, says Glenn Beck about it. Glenn Beck never talks about the Fed, never has the gut to say we got to end the Fed. First off, we got to audit, then we got to end the Fed, then we got to hold those criminally responsible. Nobody's willing to boldly say what I am about it. Anyway, with jump in profit, though, Amazon Prime membership's going up another $20, inflation everywhere. What can we do to prepare for the crash, you ask? Well, that's a big, tall order of discussion, that's for sure. Anyway, the second hour we had on Dr. Scott Bradley, America's under condemnation. In fact, the whole church is under condemnation is my headline. We must repent, otherwise there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of God Almighty. We are experiencing an unprecedented general loss of testimony in the atonement and divinity of Jesus Christ. The four stages in the pride cycle, ladies and gentlemen, success, warning, deception, downfall. We talked about it all with a good doctor. Yeah, the only real solution to the pride cycle is humility followed by sincere repentance, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, there you have it. We talked about a church that restricted free meals to the homeless to two. You can only feed homeless people twice a week, so this church is suing the Oregon government now. A massive winter storm takes aim at the Northeast, expected to dump ice across over 1,000-plus miles. We're seeing the hand of God, ladies and gentlemen, as he uses natural disasters and storms and earthquakes and etc. to stir us up in remembrance of our God. But understand, the pride cycle is live and well in America, and we're beyond the success stage, beyond the warning stage. We're in the middle of the serious stage, ladies and gentlemen, right before downfall, right? That's where we are. Beware. The only way out of it is to repent. All right, that's a recap of Friday's broadcast. Without further ado, Mr. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Good to be with you.
We had a huge discussion of the pride cycle on Friday with Dr. Scott Bradley. I thought you might want to comment on that. We're in serious, serious trouble. We're beyond the warning stage. We're in the about to have a downfall stage. The only way out of it is repentance that I see. Only way out of it is humility and change. Otherwise, God's not going to tolerate it. Lol.
One of the encouraging things I see happening among all the groups with which I associate, Sam, is an appeal to heaven. I see it in the meetings I'm involved with. I mean, just last night, we met a group of us, and you know, first off the bat, we offered prayer. And I see it in the Platform Republican PAC board meetings. We offer prayer before, you know, as we begin every meeting. Even in our webinars where we're talking about a topic, these usually happen on like on the first Tuesday of the month or something, where the Platform Republicans PAC is having a webinar. I know we have one tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We begin those with prayer. And we're more willing to talk about the need for divine help. I see a lot of these emails that are sent around to activists. They always include now a prayer. Please pray, please, you know, in our fast meetings, you know, meaning we, you know, go without food. We're trying to demonstrate to a Heavenly Father that we are so interested, so keenly interested in His blessing that we are going without food for one or two meals because we are imploring the heavens for help in this sacred cause. So to me, that's encouraging, Sam. Many people, many activists are recognizing the need for God and His. And so, yeah, hopefully we are repenting. Hopefully we are keeping the Sabbath day holy. I mean, these you can't just pray for something and then go on continue your own life the way you've been living. You have to change your life. You have to do something different, and that involves, you know, keeping the Sabbath day holy. That means keeping God's commandments. It means seeking His help through prayer. So all of these are encouraging signs, and I just want to mention them because a lot of people do recognize the need for God. You know, if we hope to succeed in this effort of restoring America, restoring for our freedoms and restoring our liberties, it's going to be with God's help, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, amen to that. And it starts, if you want to restore the Republic of the traditions of our founders, it starts with honest ballot counts. In other words, voting, ladies and gentlemen, whether you believe there was vote fraud or not is beside the point. The fact is we've got to go back to a transparent system that has custody of ballots all the way through, ladies and gentlemen. We got to restore trust in the system. Good news. People are working on that big time, Lowell.
SecureVoteUtah.org is the website of a group here in Utah that is wanting a return to hand-counted ballots, a return to voting in person. And so at SecureVoteUtah.org is the website. We can talk about 7 reasons to count ballots by hand after this break, Sam.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips with Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with me, CampaignForLiberty.org. We're talking about 7 reasons to count ballots by hand, SecureVoteUtah.org. Reason number 1, Lowell.
That is that you can actually watch the actual counting of the votes. I mean, if you can imagine how, you know, if you watch a computer count votes, You can't really see anything. You just see the computer. You might see some lights blinking. You might see some, or if you go down to the counting operation at your local clerk's office, you might see ballots whizzing past you on conveyors and so forth. But you really can't count. You really can't watch anything being counted, right? And so that's the main reason. If we are to restore confidence in the election process, we need to be able to see the votes being counted, ballots actually being counted. And so hand counting them enables you to observe the actual counting of the ballots. Very, very simple. And so that's what we want to get back to. We did this successfully for decades. This is the way ballots were counted. Elections were decided by three people working together, counting the ballots by hand. I've witnessed it. I've been a poll watcher. And boy, I was very impressed with the accuracy and with the thorough approach taken by the hand counters. I mean, you're a poll watcher, and you walked away from that election 100% confident that every ballot had been counted accurately, and the vote totals were true. And so, yeah, absolutely. Watch the actual counting of the ballots with your eyes, not by computers. That's the way to go, Sam. So then, the second reason we should count ballots by hand is that you do it out in the precincts, the neighborhood precincts. So you have your three election judges. Basically, you decentralize the process. And by decentralizing, then you prevent systematic cheating, right? I mean, if you have one place that ballots are counted, and that's done by computers, it's centrally located, then that's your vulnerability. That's your point of vulnerability. Well, if you spread that out into every precinct in the state, we have over 2,000 precincts in the state of Utah, for example. We have 29 counties. And in fact, some of the smaller counties, they would ask the bigger counties to count their ballots for them because the bigger counties have these machines. Well, that's 29 points of failure. Now you have 29 vulnerabilities, 29 weak spots, as opposed to over 2,000 decentralized locations. Well, it's very difficult to corrupt, two out of three election judges in over 2,000 locations in the state. So it's obvious that decentralizing the process will help to prevent systematic cheating. Another advantage of counting ballots by hand is that the vote tally can be published that very night. Once computers arrived, everybody thought things would be quicker. Not the case. It takes days in order to collect all of the vote-by-mail ballots and get them into a machine that can count them, and then you don't know if the vote is accurate. But back when you're in the days when you were counting by hand, the election judges were able to phone the county clerk that night with their vote totals and then verify that the county clerk received the vote totals accurately from them, because the county clerk would then publish the vote totals from each precinct. Then you have an accurate and an efficient count as to the election results that very night. Very, very.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking transparency because you can watch the votes. We're talking about at the precinct level, truly the most local, accountable government organization, if you will. The precinct is closest to the people and smallest of any government entity whatsoever. So you got transparency in watching the votes. You got government pushed to the most local and controllable level in the precinct. Then you've got this ability where, hey, you can get immediate results. Critical to understand. They thought computers would get us there faster. Not the case. All efforts seem to be at making the votes more and more and more convoluted, less and less transparent. And that's something we've got to stand against. Next one, Lowell.
Each precinct not only reports to the county or the municipality in a municipal election, but the precincts can they tell their friends, right, the results of the election. So there's no more, waiting days and days after the election to know the results. You know them that night. You know them from your precinct, the election judges, that very night. And then you also know from the county, the countywide results. And from the state, the statewide results. So it's very immediate. I mean, how many times did we go to bed in the 1960s without knowing the results? Well, yeah, it was zero. Because we knew the results before going to bed. People who stayed up late after the 10 o'clock news where the results were often reported on the 10 o'clock news. That's just the way it was done in the 1960s, 1970s. So that's definitely, you know, one of the advantages of counting ballots by hand is that precincts makes the results available to the public as well as to election officials. When most of the ballots are taken directly, and I'm moving on to the next reason here, when most of the ballots are taken directly from the ballot box to an adjoining room for immediate counting, then you minimize these chain of custody issues. See, in vote by mail, you've got ballots laying out on the kitchen table. You don't know whether the voter who is qualified and legal to vote is actually the one casting the ballot. You don't have a picture ID associated with that person. It's just sitting on the kitchen table. And you may have more than one sitting on the kitchen table. It could be cast, right? All you know as a county clerk is you just got these ballots in the mail. You don't know who cast them. You don't know who filled them out. You don't know whether coercive influences were used to make sure that the ballots were cast in the right way. You don't know how many those ballots were harvested by campaign workers in behalf, so you know, to so-called assist, you know, someone at an assisted living center to cast a ballot. You don't know that. So anyway, you minimize chain of custody issues when you show up at a precinct location. You get a ballot, you cast it, you write it on it, and then you cast it into the ballot box. And you have poll watchers watching that ballot box and never leaves their eyes. And then finally, at the end of the day, you open up that ballot box and count the ballots, and everybody can watch that process. There's no chain of custody issues in that process. So
there's also exit polling that becomes available. Otherwise, you can't do that either. And exit polling has a great ability. It's not perfect because it's polling, but it has a tremendously accurate ability to kind of say, hey, is this in line with reality or do we got a serious problem? Their goal is to jettison exit polling too, because a real modicum of transparency happens there, Lowell.
Absolutely right. That is the seventh and final reason is exit polling. Can be done by, typically, well, private citizens can do it, newspaper, media people can do it, but if the actual if the reported results from the election differ by just more than 1 or 2 percentage points from the exit polls, you know some hanky-panky's been going on, because those exit polls are one of the surest ways of knowing how people voted. You don't care how every single person voted, but you do exit polling, which is a random sample, a truly random sample of those who actually cast their vote in the election, then you get a very good idea of how the election results should turn out. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's serious business. Transparency is vital. SecureVoteUtah.org to learn more and get involved. We want to return to paper ballots. And there's 7 reasons why we got to have accountability there and transparency. If you've got one of these organizations in your state working on it, fantastic. If you don't, go to SecureVoteUtah.org and mirror this in your area. Make sure that voting is done by the precinct, done transparently, ladies and gentlemen. It is vital. All right, the Utah legislatives. Yes, sir.
One other thing I'll interject here, Sam, was that we were featured on the War Room, Steve Bannon's War Room, and apparently there are lots of people across the nation who watch that program. And just in a couple of hours, when we were on the War Room over the weekend, we had hundreds of people from all over the state express support for this effort. So we know, folks, we know you're out there. It was Florida, New York, Massachusetts, Delaware, every state in the union, basically, Hawaii, Alaska, you guys responded, and you're out there. So do something in your own state just like this. Restore voter integrity to your state, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to talk about the reign of terror. How many days into the Utah legislative session are we? 45 days of pure terror. They got a bill that's shocking. It's dangerous. It's unconstitutional. And I submit it's even criminal. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Up in Canada, Ottawa declared a state of emergency on Sunday in response to thousands turning out for a second weekend of demonstrations against COVID-19 public mandates, blocking roads and disrupting parts of the capital city. A GoFundMe campaign to support truckers was canceled by GFM, saying they will refund all the money donated. President Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron discussed in a phone call Sunday ongoing diplomatic and deterrence efforts in response to Russia's military buildup along Ukraine's border. Macron is due to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Monday, and then Ukraine's President Zelensky in Kyiv on Tuesday. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia on CNN Sunday endorsed the re-election campaign of his Republican colleague, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska.
Endorsing my dear friend Lisa Murkowski, Alaska could only be so lucky to have her continue to serve them.
Thank you.
USA Radio News.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all natural testosterone booster, the safe, easy and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Another police shooting in Minnesota is under scrutiny.
Hundreds of peaceful protesters took to the streets of downtown Minneapolis Saturday, days after Amir Locke was fatally shot by a Minneapolis police SWAT team while executing a no-knock warrant on behalf of the St. Paul Police Department. Among the protesters was Karen Wells, Locke's mother.
Never would I have imagined that I would be standing up here talking about the execution of my son by the Minneapolis Police Department.
Locke, a black man, was fatally shot three times after he was spotted with a weapon as he was waking up, though police body cam footage showed that his finger was not on the trigger. Many of the protesters called for several resignations, including from Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey and Interim Police Chief Amelia Huffman. The incident comes as the city is still dealing with the fallout over the police murder of George Floyd. A federal trial for three officers involved in Floyd's death began about 2 weeks ago. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, breaking everything down just for you, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got the reign of terror going on in the state of Utah. Utah legislature has what's called SB 88, a digital driver's license centralization of information. That is disaster, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell, provide the details, will you?
This bill amends provisions relating to the establishment and maintenance of a program for electronic driver license certificates and ID cards. It makes the electronic license certificate and identification card program permanent. Right now, it's just basically a pilot, but this bill would make that thing permanent. Now, a vendor, so basically it's a private vendor that would provide these services, right? There's these electronic driver license certificate service for the population in Utah. And so this private vendor would be able to charge a nominal fee for the service, and they would supposedly, work to ensure the security and the privacy of the data. So they would have your name, your everything that's on your driver's license card now, they would have that. They would probably have much, much more than that as the years pass. And then how many times the government gets hacked? Well, their private companies get hacked as well. And so there's no real true security when it comes down to technology. Technology is hackable. I'm a programmer. I'm in tech. I know this. There's no such thing as 100% secure. What you do is you raise the walls as high as you can, and you try to protect yourself, knowing your own weaknesses, your own vulnerabilities. But it's just, I'm getting off the subject there, but I'm just saying that, we all love technology and we love the convenience, but, I don't know if it's wise to trust, this valuable private information with anybody, let alone the government, and certainly not, a private vendor that doesn't have our best interests at heart. Well, so, our privacy, Sam, should not be for sale on the altar of convenience. Same thing as balloting. People like to cast ballots electronically because it's convenient, but what they give up is security, right? And so it really shouldn't be for sale. This centralization of information really is a centralization of power, and it increases the ease by which this information can be hacked, it can be compromised. It actually allows those with this information to control you. Think about what China does on their social credit system. Everybody has a social credit score, and the higher the score, then the more able you are to do stuff, be for free, so to speak. The lower your score, then the less free you are. This, in my opinion, Sam, is a step toward the social credit scoring system utilized in China, and we need to be squarely against this type of implementation here in Utah, Sam.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, this bill is disaster. Reject it, SB 88. And this connects our driver's licenses and our information to an international organization that will have oversight and power over our private and our medical information, as well as interferes with our right to travel. This is disaster, ladies and gentlemen. When you say international, though, who actually gets this data? Do we even know? And the answer is, I don't think we do.
No, I don't think we do, Sam. And this bill is going to be heard at 3:40 this afternoon in Utah's Capitol Hill in Salt Lake City. So if you are close by, if you live in Utah, or if you're close by and want to attend this hearing and express your opposition to the bill, we would welcome your help to do that. 3:40 this afternoon in Salt Lake City.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Serious business. What day in the reign of terror are we in? How much more of this do we have? I feel under the gun every single day that, man, 500-plus new abusive, hostile, unconstitutional, tyrannical laws are coming my way every single. It's like a season of terror, sir. How far in are we?
I think today is day 21, Sam.
See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even halfway through the abuse. Tomorrow I'll be Wednesday I'll be halfway through, and I'm telling you right now, they're already trying to connect your driver's license or your state ID, which you're forced to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my information to who knows who in an international organization will have control over me? I mean, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, think about what will be there. It'll be hacked. It'll be, you're talking about a credit score like China has, all tied to this cursed thing? Oh, my heavens, save us. Alexander Hamilton, I need to be saved from that guy, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. If you want, if people want a movie they can watch to give you some idea of the horror that could be coming down the pike if your information gets hacked, just watch The Net. Sandra Bullock stars in a movie called The Net that was produced, 10, 15 years ago, that her identity was stolen. She was hacked. And the movie is all based on, she's a computer programmer that tries to, deal with the challenge of somebody having hacked her identity. So a very interesting movie called The Net. If for people who like movies, it's a good illustration of the problems that can occur if your identity gets hacked, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, serious business, I'll tell you that right now. Now, Alexander Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen, was just disaster. You know what? He used to think right on some issues, but the longer he was involved, the more he got involved in the government, the more centralized he wanted things to be. You see, Alexander Hamilton felt like the federal or the general government, as they used to call it. We had a return to that, by the way. The general government was too weak and might not succeed. So he wanted to give more and more and more power. And he was really the one kind of to pervert the general welfare clause first, lol.
Yeah, he sure did. Everybody knows the general welfare clause. You know, Article 1, Section 8, basically it says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Well, in the Federalist Papers, Hamilton seems to agree with James Madison that the general welfare clause is a limitation on Congress, ensuring that, you know, money collected from the states would not be spent for the betterment of any single state, but for the betterment of all the states, you know, general, right? A rising tide benefits all boats. It lifts all boats, right? The general government would be limited to acting only on the enumerated powers. Well, and so there's, you know, in Federalist Papers, he does write that way. There's two or three examples. I'll just give you one. This from Federalist number 17, he says, the administration of private justice between the citizens of the same state, the supervision of agriculture and of other concerns of a similar nature, all those things, in short, which are proper to be provided for by local legislation, can never be desirable cares of a general jurisdiction. Meaning those things, they're taken care of locally, they're hands off if you're the general government. The general government will never delve into your private matters. They'll never touch the police powers. They'll never get into your face about your driver's license, you know, any of that stuff. That's what he wrote in Federalist number 17. Well, something happened to his viewpoint once he was appointed Secretary of the Treasury by President Washington, because he changed. He made plans to move power, to centralize power more and more in the hands of the general government. And so his first move was to propose that the national government absorb all of the Revolutionary War debts of the state. The general government was already borrowing money.
By the way, insane, ladies and gentlemen.
They were already borrowing money just to pay interest on its own debts. So why would he want the general government to take on the debt from the states also? Well, to guarantee that the states would forever be beholden to the general government. Well, Madison and Jefferson protested, but Hamilton bought their vote simply by steering the building of the nation's capital to the banks of the Potomac River, ladies and gentlemen. Secretary Hamilton revealed his next scheme. He wanted to increase the tariff for the import tax and give that additional money to business and industry. It's called collectivism, folks, and Hamilton was squarely in the collectivist ideology. And so even though he seemed to be a good guy at the beginning,
Only is it collectivism, but it's a page out of the playbook of communism, even though the communism reality hadn't been completely codified yet, right?
You're exactly right, Sam.
But I'm just saying the principles of tyranny are the same. Never forget that reality check. Alexander Hamilton, shame on him. He's one of the most famous founding fathers, too, because they even make plays about this guy. They love that stuff. All right, Patriots, hang tight. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Sadly, what you get, ladies and gentlemen, is when you centralize everything, you end up with a central bank called the Federal Reserve. And when you do that, you end up with fake, dishonest, unconstitutional criminal money. And when you have criminal money, ladies and gentlemen, war is the next thing on the agenda of those who love tyranny, those who love control, those who love mayhem and death and everything we stand against as God-fearing Christians. They don't care about just wars or moral high ground. All they want to do is fund tyranny, fund mayhem, death and destruction and everything else, ladies and gentlemen. And a centralized bank is the core that makes all that happen because, hey, if they can do whatever they want with money, if they can make as much money as they want or just print it and live off the largesse of deceit, wow, ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious trouble. Jacob Hornberger does a great job talking about a time for introspection on this whole topic, Lowell.
Yes, thoughtfully consider our American foreign policy, right? Because once upon a time, back in the days of George Washington in particular, we had a humble foreign policy, and we didn't go about in search of monsters to destroy. We need to get back to that, folks. And Jacob Hornberger posts a column at ronpaulinstitute.org expressing exactly that sentiment. Obviously, the Pentagon, the CIA, and NSA don't want to do that. They don't want a humble policy. They want the current policy, which is to maintain foreign military bases in over 100 countries around the world. They want to conjure up the Cold War to justify lavish expenditures on weapons of war. That's what they do. That's this military-industrial complex that is funded by this constant drumbeat for war. And you look at the situation developing in Ukraine, all of the money and so forth that we've poured into that country, and thumbing our nose at Russia because we want to incite war. That's what feeds the machine, basically. They get more money, the more ammunition that they have to produce, and the tanks and planes and so forth that they have to produce in the cause of war, that means more money for the companies involved in the military-industrial complex. So that's the incentive for maintaining the current foreign interventionist foreign policy. Well, Hornberger says we got to end this dangerous, destructive mayhem, and we can do it by doing two things. First, we have to restore the founding foreign policy of non-interventionism. We got to abandon foreign military bases, including the torture center in Guantanamo, Cuba. We got to bring home our troops. No more state-sponsored assassinations, kidnappings, coups, wars of aggressions, alliances with dictatorial regimes, foreign aid, and regime change operations. Basically, we've been doing that for well over five decades, these regime change operations. And almost 300 regime change operations sponsored by the CIA and NSA and others over the past 70 years, Sam. It's mind-boggling how many regimes we endeavor to topple, and we do it by secret. There's a great book out about that that's detailing all of these regime change operations. And that's the first point. We need to restore the foreign policy of non-interventionism. And secondly, Sam, we need to restore America's founding governmental system of a limited government republic, dismantle the national security state, maintain an adequate defense force, yes, but no more of this massive military-industrial congressional complex, funding and buildup of that complex. So those are the two things we need to do, Sam. Those are not easily done, but we got to start somewhere. And so we need members of Congress to recognize that a humble foreign policy is what we ought to have. We need to get back to that. And then we need to curb the size and reach of our general government and curtail its size and its reach back to a limited government republic that it was intended to be. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. We got to, one, realize we didn't end the Cold War. The Soviet Union did. We were mad because the military-industrial complex took a hit over it. They loved to fund and train and get involved in both sides of wars. It's a disaster, ladies and gentlemen. The Cold War racket never ended for the U.S. LouRockwell.com, but another column from Jacob Hornberger to highlight the very points he's making. And then I got the solution in seconds, Lowell.
Yeah, Hornberger says something I did not realize. Maybe I was too young, but it is the U.S. did not end the Cold War. The Soviet Union ended the Cold War. Yeah, something I didn't realize. The U.S. military-industrial complex didn't like it one bit for the reasons we've already expressed, because it's a racket. The Cold War was a racket, a way for the military-industrial complex, like I said, to gain in lots of money. The supposed international communist conspiracy boogeyman was used to frighten us Americans into supporting the continuation of the Cold War racket. So the U.S. did not want the Cold War to end. The regime, people at the top, the politicians at the top, and the corporate financiers and the people involved in the military-industrial complex did not want that to end. So the U.S., what they did, they kept NATO propped up. They actually grew NATO after the end of the Cold War. But NATO, by the way, was created after World War II to protect Western Europe from a Soviet attack. Never mind that such an attack was not at all likely. The Soviets had lost more than 20 million people to the Nazi army. Russia's industrial capacity had been decimated. NATO, that was for show. That really didn't do any diddly, but that was for show. See, at the Yalta Conference, FDR agreed that the Soviets could have Eastern Europe. And then, when the Soviets unilaterally dismantled their empire and exited Eastern Europe in 1989, after the fall of the Berlin Wall there, the United States had an excellent opportunity to do its part to restore a peaceful and harmonious world. They should have dismantled NATO immediately there in 1989, the last part of 1989. NATO should have disappeared. Their ostensible mission of protecting Western Europe from the Soviet Union was over. Right, because Soviet Union, they backed off, right? So if NATO had been abolished, then there wouldn't be a crisis in Ukraine today. That's the bottom line, right? And so this Cold War racket never ended for the U.S., and it was never ended by the U.S. It was ended by the Soviet Union. A very interesting bit of history that Hornberger gets into there in his column. But because the Pentagon kept NATO in existence, and began absorbing former Warsaw Pact countries, we now have the crisis in Ukraine today. And in fact, Sam, I don't even know if that's a real crisis. I think the media machine is beating the drums and trying to create more of a crisis there. It's a paper crisis more than a real crisis, in my opinion. But anyway, that...
Yeah, now my view is this. I do believe we have a threat from China, Russia, Iran, and others. It does pose rising threats to the U.S. and to the whole world. Okay, the crisis is real, and let me tell you why and how. We continue to fund our enemies, And when we fund our enemies, they use that to build their own military and industrial complexes. The more we build up their militaries, the greater threat we create, ladies and gentlemen. So I submit to you that it's our foreign policy that's the problem. We are our own worst enemy here. Yes, there's a crisis, not because we fear those countries, but because when we build them up with our own dollars, our own money, our own transferring of military gear and training and hardware and all that, we create these enemies, ladies and gentlemen. The only answer, the only solution to deal with, ladies and gentlemen, the serious threat is to have a humble policy of non-interventionism. Stay the heck out of it. And if we wouldn't build these people up with our own money, build these people up with our own training and our own military-industrial complex to where they eventually have enough to stand on their own and create threats because they can, we wouldn't have a problem. So we're our biggest threat, is my point. But because of that, these nations are a threat. The only answer is to back away and not fund, not train, not whatever these different countries, have a humble foreign policy, a non-interventionist foreign policy, and then build ourselves up in case somebody tries to do harm to the greatest country on the face of the earth. Otherwise, avoid foreign entanglements like the plague, and the problem would be resolved, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. I think we spend more on our so-called defense than the next seven or eight countries combined. You know, that includes Russia and China and other military strong countries. And so most of that budget is not needed. We shouldn't be spending that kind of money. The only reason we do is because of this interventionist foreign policy. And so simply by reversing that policy, returning to a humble foreign policy, we could save billions of dollars and the angst and the blowback that's coming from these other countries because of our, you know, supplying them with arms and munitions. And basically the bankers are funding both sides of the conflict. The military-industrial complex is benefiting from both sides of the conflict. They benefit from war. They benefit from fights, the struggles. It reminds me of the lawyers that, you know, they benefit because they stir the people up to contention, and then they take all the cases, and that's the way they earn their money. Well, you've got that happening on a global scale by the military-industrial complex. They benefit from war. Well, doesn't benefit the civilians that get killed.
Lowell, without our free market mojo, these countries would never have enough wherewithal to build these massive military capabilities. And so this is what I mean. We have a real threat because of what we do. Otherwise, we would not have a real threat. As you wisely point out, we're creating the real threat ourselves with our free market mojo. We literally trade with these countries as if they have free markets. We literally reward them with millions and billions and trillions of dollars. We reward them with training and military hardware that eventually is used against us. We are our own worst threat because of our policy here. And that's the only reason it's a real threat. Otherwise, it's a non-threat. They could never get the mojo to build such an apparatus without using our free markets against us.
Right on, Sam. Just like Fast and Furious, we exported the guns to Mexico so they could be used on our own border agents. And it's just foolishness. It's short-sightedness. It's foolish. It's dangerous. And it needs to stop. We need a humble foreign policy. We need peace, prosperity, but if we expect to get it, then we need to act in a way that's peaceful and prosperous, Sam. We just got to do it.
Jettison unjust wars like the plague, ladies and gentlemen. Understand clearly and unequivocally the best way to avoid war is to arm ourselves to the teeth, walk quietly with a big stick, stay out of foreign affairs from other nations, avoid foreign entanglements. That's what the great General George Washington and others who were like-minded, who understood the sacred cause of liberty, advised. And the sooner we return to it, the sooner we will not have a real threat, as Lowell wisely points out. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
Lowell Nelson always doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org are his websites. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, our websites. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but you got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. And if we get involved, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.